வந்தேகம் ஸ்ரீகுரு.
The following is a conversation with His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, recorded on the 29th of June 1974 in Melbourne, Australia.
ரகுநாதம் சீவம்.
Are you feeling the cold in Melbourne, your grace?
Heating is there.
But when you go outside, do you feel
it? I go outside.
Pardon?
I go outside.
Yeah, but when you go out, do you feel it?
I feel like covered sufficiently.
How long are you staying here for?
Up to second.
This was your first visit to Australia?
No, this is fourth time.
Is it?
That's right. The Bhagavad Gita about this feeling is stated, matrasparshastu kaunteya sitasna sukhadukkhala agava paina anitya tana titikhasya bharat.
English?
No, I read the Sanskrit.
Matrasparshastu kaunteya sitasna sukhadukkhala agava paina anitya tana titikhasya bharat. O son of Kunti, the non-permanent appearance of happiness and distress and their disappearance in due course are like the appearance and disappearance of winter and summer seasons. They arise from sense perception, O Shayana Bharata, and one must learn to tolerate them without being disturbed.
What?
In the proper discharge of duty, one has to learn to tolerate non-permanent appearances and disappearances of happiness and distress. According to Vedic injunction, one has to take his bath early in the morning, even during the month of Magha, January, February. It is very cold at that time, but in spite of that, a man who abides by the religious principles does not hesitate to take his bath. Similarly, a woman does not hesitate to cook in the kitchen in the months of May and June, the hottest part of the summer season. One has to execute his duty in spite of climatic inconveniences. Similarly, to fight is the religious principle of the Kshatriyas, and although one has to fight with some friend or relative, one should not deviate from his prescribed duty. One has to follow the prescribed rules and regulations of religious principles in order to rise up to the platform of knowledge, because by knowledge and devotion only can one liberate himself from the clutches of Maya, illusion. The two different names of address given to Arjuna are also significant. To address him as Kauntiya signifies his great blood relations from his mother's side. To address him as Bharata signifies his greatness from his father's side. From both sides, he is supposed to have a great heritage. A great heritage brings responsibility in the matter of proper discharge of duties. Therefore, he cannot avoid fighting.
Duty has to be done despite all inconveniences. That is a very important thing. The example is given that one has to take bathing early in the morning, but because it is cold, one cannot avoid it. He must take. A little boy. But he was a great devotee, and father was a great atheist. So, he was surprised that his son became so great devotee. After all, as a father, he asked him, "My dear boy, what nice thing you have learned by your education." He said, "My dear father, the best thing I have learned is that people are always full of anxiety. So one thing is, that formerly it was the practice to go to the forest, go to the Himalaya. But in this age, this is not possible. Therefore, we have to take shelter of the Lord wherever we are. And that is Hare Krishna chant.
Well, of course, generally, as you rightly point out, you know, many times there, that that man in the present-day civilization, he is so often mesmerized, he's captivated,
yes,
by what he sees in front of him. It's the modern Garden of Eden that he sees. He sees many collectible apple trees, that, so to speak, and he feels in the new vaunted value given to personalism and the expression of self and the self-seeking, that he reaches out towards those things, and I'm afraid that in many cases the difficulty is to convince him that he's only getting poor substitutes until he's tasted and eaten and tried to digest and finds, you know, that there's no satisfaction, there's no wholesome food to be found there.
That is also stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam.
Yeah.
That is our statement of Prahlad Maharaj, this boy devotee. He says, Nati vidu sartha gatim hi Vishnu. These foolish people, they do not know what is their actual self-interest. So he says, they do not know the actual self-interest is approaching God. That is real self-interest. But they do not know him. Nati vidu sartha gatim hi Vishnu durasaya. They have made their plan wrongly to become happy in this material world. Nati vidu sartha gatim hi Vishnu durasaya ji bahirathaman. Bahirathamanina means external. They are taking the external energy, the material world is very important. And the leaders also, the so-called leaders, they are being led. The leaders, they are blind, and they are leading some other blind man without knowing that they cannot be happy in that way because he is under strict, stringent laws of nature, material nature. That Bhagavad Gita therefore recommends Devi jisha gunami mamo maya durataya mami vaja prapadanti mayami tam param. This is illusion, that they are under the control of the material nature, just like the so-called foolish scientists. They don't care for God. They think by so-called scientific advancement, all the problems will be solved. That is not possible. One of my students, he is double MA in chemistry and PhD. I asked him to discuss this thing. He has written a small, a little book, kind of this book, Scientific Basis of Krishna Consciousness. This book. He has very scientifically discussed. The science, so-called scientists, they are going to be as all in all.
I think I've left my glasses in the car.
Just try this glass.
Could be. Yeah, it's all right, I think. Yeah, all right.
Bars have the same
thing. Oh, yeah. Your Grace, there's one thing I wish to ask you. Do you believe in some sort of universal but inherent deficiency in human nature? In other words, that man, irrespective of his environment, irrespective of his where he comes from, that he has, he's prone to evil. In the Catholic Church, we call that original sin. Original sin is an inherited deficiency in which man is turned away from God,
yes,
and rather than turned towards God, and that he holds within himself a seed of failure in spiritually and also a seed of unreliability, so that the very makeup of man demands the enlightening touch and the helping hand of God, so that he may overcome his inherent and abiding deficiency. So we hold that that is the nature of things, that man is not just merely a good thing or an advisable thing that man reaches out to and for God, but it is a necessary thing. God not merely is there to improve upon what you might say would be a natural goodness of man, but man has a natural deficiency. He needs God to overcome. And as he overcomes, of course, he progresses further and is enriched by God. But we hold that very clearly.
Yes, what that is stated in one of the Vedic literature, that nitya siddha krishna bhakti sattva kabhu noy sabanadi suddha chitte kara. The inherent principle is eternally a fact. He is obedience to God.
Yeah.
But artificially, he has covered it. Artificially.
Yeah.
The God consciousness is there in everyone.
Right.
But by so-called material advancement, he has forgotten. He has his obedience to God, natural. Even the aborigines in the forest, they also submit to the manifestation of God's different energies. As soon as there is some lightning and there is thunderbolt, they immediately offer obeisance. As soon as they see a big sea, ocean, they offer obeisance. That is inherent. But due to the material association, it is covered. That what Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, jaravidya sam mayar vaibhav tomar bhajane bala. The more we advance in so-called material amenities, we forget God. We forget God. So the inherent dormant propensity is to become servant of God, but material association is checking him. Just like now, psychological treatment, a crazy fellow, he goes to the psychiatrist and he talks with him gradually, talking, he cures him. Similarly, this man who have forgotten all this living entity, if they associate with devotees and they constantly talk and hear about God, then again he revives his God consciousness. So we are this Krishna consciousness movement or any other system. We open many centers and we talk, we sell our literature. Lord Shiva has seen our book.
I have.
So, by association with devotee, by hearing, sarvanadi means hearing. Beginning is hearing. If he patiently hears, then that dormant God consciousness again becomes revived. Yeah. Then it's like we succeed.
What would you hold about the what you might term the revelation of God, the ongoing communication of God in revealing himself and in further making known his will? For man, at different stages of his own life, his own individual life, and of course in different stages of history and in different cultures.
That is recommended, you see. Tisham sadhita yuktanam bhajatam pridipurvagam dadami buddhim. Because the God consciousness is there. God is there.
Yeah.
And now God is prepared to give him instruction always. He is giving instruction. Now, how that dormant consciousness can be revived, that is stated. You read it.
Tesham satata yuktanam vajatam priti purvakam sadame buddhi yoguntam yenamam upayantite. To those who are constantly devoted and worship me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me.
Papa.
In this verse, the word Buddhi Yogam is very significant. We may remember that in the second chapter, the Lord, instructing Arjuna, said that he had spoken to him of many things, and that he would instruct him in the way of Buddhi Yoga. Now Buddhi Yoga is explained. Buddhi Yoga itself is action and Krishna consciousness. That is the highest intelligence. Buddhi means intelligence, and Yoga means mystic activities or mystic elevation. When one tries to go home, back to Godhead, and takes fully to Krishna consciousness in devotional service, his action is called Buddhi Yoga. In other words, Buddhi Yoga is the process by which one gets out of the entanglement of this material world. The ultimate goal of progress is Krishna. People do not know this, therefore the association of devotees and a bona fide spiritual master are important. One should know that the goal is Krishna, and when the goal is assigned, then the path is slowly but progressively traversed, and the ultimate goal is achieved. When a person knows the goal of life but is addicted to the fruits of activities, he is acting in karma yoga. When he knows that the goal is Krishna, but he takes pleasure in mental speculations to understand Krishna, he is acting in jnana yoga. And when he knows the goal and seeks Krishna completely in Krishna consciousness and devotional service, he is acting in bhakti yoga or buddhi yoga, which is the complete yoga. This complete yoga is the highest perfectional stage of life. A person may have a bona fide spiritual master and may be attached to a spiritual organization, but still, if he is not intelligent enough to make progress, then Krishna from within gives him instructions so that he may ultimately come to him without difficulty. The qualification is that a person always engage himself in Krishna consciousness and with love and devotion render all kinds of services. He should perform some sort of work for Krishna, and that work should be with love. If a devotee is intelligent enough, he will make progress in the path of self-realization. If one is sincere and devoted to the activities of devotional service, the Lord gives him a chance to make progress and ultimately attain to him.
Yeah. So one must be engaged in devotional service, practical. So these are our boys and disciples, they are always.
I didn't quite catch what you said.
Now I said that if one engages himself in the service of the Lord, somehow or other, then the revelation, the original dormant God consciousness, the love of God, becomes revived. Exactly in the same way.
Yeah.
The psychiatrist, they treat the crazy fellow by talking somewhere. See, we talk of Krishna, then that original Krishna consciousness is revived. And that is also stated, you find out in the Bhagavad, Sinnatang Sakatha Krishna Punnatsavana Kritana Vidyantastha Vajrani Yepatpar. So, this is very important thing. Therefore we have published so many books about Krishna. To hear, hearing, and just like man is sleeping. You talk loudly and he'll be out. That's it.
I accept that every man must open himself out to God, and as we say, well, God speaks to the open mind of the generous man and the open recesses of his own heart through his grace. But surely outside of man, see, my difficulty is, you know, that God can speak to me, let's put it this way, some God-fearing people and God-dedicated people have done some very strange things. Now, my difficulty always is, if God speaks to me in the innermost recesses of my heart and he tells me on a certain matter to do this, and he speaks to somebody over here on the same matter, and he tells him to do something different. And straight away, I must ask the question, there must be some way, independent from me and from my fellow man, in which God can make his will known, can reveal himself, insofar to guarantee that I'm not merely taking a subjective interpretation of what God is making known to me, and I end up with not merely a valid alternative, I may end up with an opposition or a contradiction. And my big fear there is, if it's a contradiction, well, somebody's going to lose out. Now, I wouldn't be quite sure whether it's myself or the other person, but if that is so, so I always feel, and the Christian tradition, of course, feels it very keenly, that, you know, that it's true that God moves the individual soul in a way that is particular to each soul. His own action, we call it his action of grace, which is an offering of God's guidance and God's truth, God's riches of God's life. But over and above the individual movements by which he touches and uplifts and ennobles the individual person, so is outside of that, there's something which is where we say, roughly speaking, is objective, which God makes known his will as a whole plan and philosophy of life. But when in the Hare Krishna, would you have something of that equivalent? You would have sacred writings, I know that. But would you have anything that would sort of correspond to a living interpretative voice or a living interpretation of the will of God, irrespective of what God says to me as an individual in the recesses of my own heart and soul? I don't know whether I spoke too much there, but I'm clear.
I don't think there is individual instruction. There is individual instruction, but that is subordinate. The general instruction is that one should be fully surrendered to God. That is general instruction. Now, if one is fully surrendered, then in a particular case and particular circumstances, God gives him instruction what to do. Because in this material world, circumstances are different. So that is not very extraordinary. According to circumstances, he gives it. But general instruction is there, and they are recorded in the scripture. The general instruction must be followed. That one cannot say that God is dictating through me something to do even against the general instruction. That is not possible. The general instruction must be followed.
Very pleased.
Yeah.
And perhaps you might like to ask me something. I've been asking you many things. You might like to ask me something.
Yeah.
Might like to ask me something about Australia, as I see it, or, you know, the conditions of our society here, our culture.
One who is following the general instruction, then you can understand that he has actually fully surrendered to God. Yeah. Then in particular case, if he is required to be given a particular instruction, that is different. That is also possible. But how one is God-conscious, that is understood, that how he is strictly following the general instruction.
Yeah.
And otherwise, it will be escaping. Somebody will say, God is dictating me in this way, so I can do this. Everyone can say like that.
That's true. That's true. Did you wish me to take this away or just to look at it here?
May he keep the book or?
No, this is the only one sample I've got.
The book hasn't been
but as soon as we get more copies,
Or later,
we shall be very glad.
I will return your glasses. I hope mine are outside.
Very good.
Sure. Well, I'm very pleased to have had the opportunity of meeting with you.
So I am also
discussing these things, and Holiness has come. I hope that the, in some real way, that the cause of God will be served the better for this meeting. Mm. And I do wish you Godspeed in your work and in that.
We are trying our best to educate people how to revive his original God consciousness, then we'll be happy. Our principle is how to make people happy. There is a verse about the Goswami. Nana shastra vichara naika nipuno sad dharma samasthapako lokanam hitakarinam This word is very important. Lokanam hitukari. For the welfare of the people in general. People accuse sometimes, of course foolish people do that, that these God-conscious persons, they are escaping. No. Well, actually God-conscious persons always thinking how to do well to the people in general. Sadhana sansthapak. Give it. You can take it. Now take other things. Keep it there.
Pardon?
You take the whole thing.
I go, oh, not, oh, no, no. No, no. Oh, no. Like, I'm being maybe better than that than I am.
That's